Hi, thank you for listening today. It's Thomas Keegan with LibertarianProgressive.com, also blogtalkradio.com/election channel, where you're going to see 50 plus interviews of independent third party candidates who are on the ballots and who are the only alternate option besides Republican and Democrats. And today we have with us Joshua Trumbull, Libertarian, running for Attorney General in the state of Washington, and this year, 2016. And actually, I see Josh is calling in, and so we'll bring him right in, actually, and you just give a brief introduction here. And now his website is trumbull4ag.com. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L, the number 4, A-G, which stands for Attorney General.com. And Josh, good afternoon. How is it going today?
Hey, it's going great. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, it's wonderful to do these interviews and let people know their options out there. We're an independent media organization. We believe if a candidate, you know, has gathered enough signatures to be on the ballot and has a statistical chance to win, then a responsible media will equally cover them and have them in the debates. Now, your situation is you're running for the Attorney General in Washington, and you're on the ballot against a Democrat. So usually I'm used to seeing like a Republican Democrat or Republican Democrat and some third party or independent. But in the state of Washington, if you could explain that to folks, it's just you versus a Democrat. And how did that happen? So they have your people in Washington can vote this November 8th between you, a Libertarian, versus, you know, status quo Democrat Party candidates.
Sure. So the way it works in Washington is we have what they call a top two primary. So before the primary, pretty much anybody who wants to run can file and run. And then the top two vote getters get to move on to the general election. And this year, it turned out that Mr. Ferguson chose to run for re-election, and I chose to run and challenge him as a Libertarian, and nobody else filed. So top two primary, there was only two people running, so now we have the final two in the general election.
Now, with this top two primary system, and I think a few other states like California and maybe one or two other states also apply this in their election system. Not everyone might be familiar with it, but that's exactly how it works. I mean, I guess there's pros and cons, but one of the pros is that you should be getting a lot more media attention and attention now because it's just the two of you head-to-head running for Attorney General. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I've never ran for an office before, so I don't have any personal experience to compare it to, but we have been going and meeting with the newspapers, the editorial boards, giving interviews, and it's him and I because that's who's running and that's the different points of view on things, and so I feel that we're getting covered. I'm certainly being included in editorial boards and comments on important issues. So it's good to have both sides of multiple points of view out there rather than just one or what I'd call the standard two, which is Republican and Democrat.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of other people in other parties holding a lot of other offices. I mean, I don't know the exact statistics, but probably I would guess 99.9% of all elected offices in the entire country, probably for the last 100 years or so, have been just all Republicans and Democrats. I mean, there's a few little independents and third party candidates here and there, but I mean, maybe some more competition will happen in the future. And there's always someone usually running. So I think Washington is it's more of an independent, purple, maybe liberal state, and you're running as a Libertarian, and you're running against a Democrat Attorney General. And I think actually, it'd be real interesting having a Libertarian as a Attorney General. I mean, that actually might be an ideal position. Now, you're your own individual as well. Not all Libertarians are the same. So I was looking at your website, and you specifically had here on here, some links to individual rights as kind of an issue, breaking up the two-party system and people before corporations. And so you know, that's what you're advertising out there as your, I guess you could call it your platform. If you could go into individual rights and what you would advocate as Attorney General, and maybe also some of your experience as an attorney.
Sure. Yeah. The two big issues, I mean, I guess maybe it's one big issue, but I think the foundation of the federal government, the foundation of the state government is certainly the protection of individual rights. You know, we have fundamental rights that they are not given to us by the government. They are inherent in our humanity, and the government has been established to protect those rights. And I am fundamentally opposed to removing rights from people by, you know, the simple majority of another group. I think anytime, you know, different parties, different people's philosophies, oftentimes the answer to anything is, well, let's regulate more, let's take away rights. That will make us safer or nicer or better somehow, where I think that's removing an essential part of our humanity. People need to be able to be free. We need to be able to live according to our own conscience. And, you know, inherent in the freedom and the fundamental rights that we possess, we have to choose to use our rights. You know, this is a whole nother issue we could talk about, but in a quote unquote moral way. So just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean that, you know, you can use it in any way you want. So that's my fundamental principle of government, is that it is there to protect individual rights, not to try to remove them or restrict them or regulate them and tell people how to act, how to believe, and what to do.
Yeah, and we can look in you know, examples in history, like you know, during World War II, the detention camps that some Japanese Americans encountered and some other groups, and I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of examples, but as a republic, we all have those individual rights, right? And what about now, I assume you're running as attorney general. What about your experience that makes you you know, a qualified candidate for this position?
Yeah, so I'll talk about my legal background, and this is the reason I ran. And now that I've been involved in the process, I have, you know, some other points that I think are important for people to hear. But the reason I ran is, you know, like most of us, I followed the, you know, they call it the Great Recession, the economic collapse, all that, all, you know, all those terms to describe, you know, 2008, 2009, when a lot of the fraud and deception of the financial industry came out, and the harm that it caused. And then that led to, you know, essentially a crisis regarding foreclosures. And there was a lot made about that for several years. And I started representing individuals against defending or affirmatively suing as plaintiffs the financial industry in about 2012, because I did not like what was going on. It was this corrupt block of an industry that got caught breaking laws, and instead of owning up to that and trying to remedy the harm they had caused the community, they instead decided to push forward and try to take people's homes, whether they were entitled to those homes, whether they needed to create, you know, there's lots of reporting out there about creation of false documents, all kinds of fraud, things like that. And so I got into helping people, either trying to resolve issues with, you know, a lot of people call it the bank, but oftentimes it's a mortgage servicer. Sometimes things as simple as the homeowner had made a payment and it wasn't credited. And instead of fixing that mistake, the servicer presses forward to foreclosure. Oftentimes, I'm sure that lots of people have heard about the, you know, during that time period, you would call in and say, hey, I've heard about this thing called the mortgage modification. The president's talking about it, and it's all over the news. And What the servicers would tell people oftentimes was, well, if you miss three payments, we can get you a mortgage modification. And so the homeowner, being in a position of vulnerability, they didn't know all the information. They trusted that servicer. And that essentially led to years of strife and struggle and oftentimes resulted in their foreclosure. And so I've been helping people through this since 2012. And our state's attorney general's office is not addressing this issue. They're not protecting the community from, in my opinion, the world's biggest fraud. This is not simply an issue of, well, that person couldn't pay their bills, so they deserve to lose their house. This is an issue of, it's immensely more complicated than that, and it's harming everybody. It harms the community. There's studies out there that show that if your neighbor's house gets foreclosed on, it can affect your health. You may be more likely to have a heart attack. It breaks up marriages. It breaks up families. It hurts our schools. It hurts, it hurts the community, the neighborhood. And, you know, most importantly, or these are all important, but most importantly, there's children involved here. And you have a whole generation of children that are growing up in this, essentially purgatory of, are we going to be living here? Are we not going to be living here? Mom and dad are upset. And that's going to have lasting effects. And so, you know, individual homeowners are outgunned and outbudgeted and they get outspent in litigation. And it's very difficult to win. And when you do win for a homeowner, I just don't feel that the amount of, you know, what you'd call damages, or if you wanted to view it as a penalty, it's not enough to change the behavior of the industry. The only way that we're going to change the behavior and protect the community at large is to have the Washington Attorney General's office address this issue and protect the people.
Wow. Yeah, it definitely has affected everyone across the board, and that's an issue definitely you could gather consensus on. And a lot of heartbreaking stories regarding, the home crisis of 2008, the Great Recession. And so good for you, Joshua. That's great to hear someone advocating for the people. And let me ask you a question here about I assume, and I might be wrong on this, but Washington is kind of a known as a maybe a, like I said, a liberal state. Maybe I'm sure there's parts that are independent and conservative, but so you're running statewide, giving an option out there, something that's different than the status quo. What would you say to alleviate the concerns of people that might have never voted for a libertarian or who might lean more liberal? So what would be your appeal in a broader sense to, that would alleviate certain concerns and that would give people confidence that you're the best choice for this position this year?
Sure. Anytime that there's something new, people can react with an uncomfortable feeling. And in this case, it's the fact that, behind my name, I don't have the R or a D. I'm a person that cares about the community. I care about getting dialogue. I want to have dialogue. Our society needs to get dialogue going so that we can come up with good ideas and we can reach consensus on things. I don't think that the Attorney General's office is an office that should be, I don't know if pushing is the right word, but that should be, I'll use it, I guess, pushing a partisan agenda. I think, that legislators can do that, but the Attorney General's office should use the limited resources to protect the greatest number of people from the greatest harm. And like I said, in that case, I believe that is the financial industry for the last 10 years. My experience in that is pretty extensive. I've been involved in many cases. I've won cases. I've been in the appellate court. I've done trials. I'm pretty well versed in that area. As far as running the office, I've been involved in my own couple businesses. I've worked for larger entities. I have a degree, an undergraduate degree from the University of Washington in business management, and I also hold a master's degree from Seattle University in business administration, where I focused in leadership and management again. And, you know, that's in addition to my law degree, allows me to practice law and help people. So, you know, I'm not probably the typical politician. I'm out here speaking from my heart, telling issues that I think are important. Hopefully the community agrees with me. You know, I don't think protecting people from fraud and corruption is a partisan issue. I think that no matter what side of anything, I think we would all agree that that's a good thing to do. I'm not saying that I'm anti-corporation or an anti-profit. I think that our country needs business and we need profit, you know. But I am against those things when you're not playing by the rules and you're harming other people. So I have a pretty lengthy history in this area. There's cases out there that are public record that people can research, and I'm always available to share more if people have any concerns. But I think that having a libertarian as Attorney General is what this state needs, and I'm going to tell people what I feel in my heart, and if they like that, they can vote for me, and if not, I love discussing things with people, and I think that's the key to a great society.
Great. Thank you, Joshua. And let me just read, if you don't mind, I'm going to read one paragraph off your website here. Corporations, business provides benefits for the people of Washington, whether they're small family business or large corporations, but there are times when businesses can cause harm to the people of Washington. It is the Attorney General's job to make sure that these businesses are held responsible and to protect people from reoccurring problems. Sometimes settlements result in nothing more than a press release and a slap on the wrist to big corporations because the consequences are so little. They write this off as a cost of doing business, and no harmful behavior should ever be profitable. And so that's kind of ties into that. And now, and let me ask you this: who's some of your favorite past or present people, elected or not?
That's an interesting question. Do I need to have met them, or just kind of
no.
Theoretically?
Theoretically, yeah.
I have great respect for a lot of the founders. I think that they all did great things, whether they were, you know, advocating for a strong federal government or a weak federal government, you know, states' rights, things like that. If you read a lot of their writings, they really did think through stuff, and they had open debates. You know, if you read the accounts of it, oftentimes they were heated, and that, you know, they ended up calling people names and things like that. But if you think back to the courage it took to essentially take some of the, you know, recent philosophical writings about self-government when it really had never been done in the history of the world, and come up with a framework. And announce to the greatest power on earth that, hey, you know, we're going to be free now, and we're going to govern ourselves, and be willing to sacrifice what they had. I think that's pretty impressive. Not that every decision they all made was I agree with, but just kind of overall, a lot of the founders and the first presidents and the Supreme Court justices and things like that. I admire a lot of them. I mean, I don't have specific names that, you know, off the top of my head. I think we all kind of know, you know, who did what back then. But I certainly have a lot of admiration for those people. After having run for office now, I've never gotten to meet Ron Paul, but I certainly think that all of his years of service out there representing people of his district, oftentimes. Throughout, you know, the 30 or so years he was in office, it kind of ebbed and flowed. Sometimes people agreed with him, sometimes people didn't, but he really held and he spoke what he believed and let people decide for themselves. I think that's a very admirable quality to have.
Yeah, I mean, Ron Paul, a former congressman from Texas, who also later ran as president and had prior to that, Yeah, I think it's admirable when people run for office to serve the people, you know, when they're doing it for the right reasons. I mean, you're really putting yourself out there and giving people another option for sure. So do you have any upcoming events or, media events or public events in the remainder of this campaign coming up soon?
Yeah, we do. We have tomorrow night, I'm actually appearing on a segment. It's TV on TVW. It's our statewide public TV studio down in Olympia. I am appearing on a segment at 7 o'clock with the incumbent. We had about a 9 or 10 minute appearance where we kind of debate the issues a little bit. Thursday, I'm appearing. Let's look at my calendar here. At about 3:25 on the radio with Todd Herman in Seattle. 5 p.m. that same day, I am going to be attending the Ethnic Media Candidate Forum / meet and greet. And then rolling into next week, Monday on the 26th, I'm going to be meeting with the Columbian. It's a newspaper kind of in the south of the state. On the 29th, we're going to be meeting with the Seattle Times. And then we just have some events scheduled throughout October, different weekdays, things like that. Still scheduling additional events kind of as we go. So trying to get out there, trying to meet as many people as I can. Last night, I also got to go meet some great people on the Kitsap Peninsula. So definitely putting stuff out there, getting active on the internet and the website, on Facebook. So it's really great.
Yeah, again, I know you mentioned this earlier, but, Attorney General seems like it has the potential to be a very non-divisive type of race for you. I mean, if there's anything that I could see people being less hesitant to giving a libertarian a try for office is Attorney General. Have you gotten any outreach or any, support from like Democrats and other liberal parties, and people across, and Republicans and independents, the full political spectrum? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, the people that I talk to, oftentimes it's great. We engage in discussion and we talk, and they say, hey, I like what you stand for, and I'm going to vote for you. And then they realize, oh, I didn't ask what party you're in. And then I say, hey, I'm running as a libertarian, and here's why. And they really like that. So just in my travels and my meetings, I've met many, many individual Democrats who like what I have, my position on protecting the community from the financial industry and the fraud they've been, using to make profit over people. The Republicans, again, like you were saying, since I don't have an R after my name, some of them are a little bit leery, but, sit down and talk to them and we find out where we agree, if we disagree, on most issues, it seems like a lot of people, no matter what party they're in, it really does seem like Americans agree on most things. Just unfortunately, when the political time comes around, we have to focus on the things that we don't agree on. And then people forget, the rest of the time that, hey, there are a lot of things that we all want and we should work together to achieve them. So, as far as the actual parties themselves, I think that there are some Republican parties in the state, whether they're countywide or, local like that, that are going to probably come out and endorse me. We've been talking with them. I don't know about, a Democrat caucus or anything like that endorsing me because they have a Democrat in the race. But on an individual level, I've spoken with many Democrats that are excited and have said that they'll be supporting me.
Great, great. And now just two final things. I mean, going back to some of your favorite people, I, find on your website a quote from John Adams, another one from Frederick Douglass. But is there any other local issues that we haven't touched on that you'd like to, expand on in the final couple minutes here? And I don't know if it's pretty much a past thing now. I know recently Washington passed the legalization of recreational cannabis or marijuana, and you think there could be any cases coming up in that could be important for the future, and any other issues that you want to touch on? This will be the final question. Thanks, Joshua.
Sure, yeah. So I'll start with the last thing you asked about the legalization of cannabis, and then I actually have two important issues that I'd like to get people aware of as we wrap up. So the big issue regarding the legalization of the cannabis in the state has to do with preemption and whether the local municipalities, whether they're cities or counties, can ban the sale of cannabis in their jurisdiction. A lot of people believed that because it was a statewide initiative, that local governments wouldn't be able to interfere with the sale of that. Attorney General Ferguson came out, I can't remember when, maybe a year ago or a little bit more than a year ago, with a legal opinion from the office that basically said the way that the initiative was written, it does not have express language that preempts a local municipality's decision whether to allow the sale or not. That got a lot of people upset. There's been some cases, I believe maybe there's five or six at the superior court level, which is what we call our first court. You go to the trial court. So far, all the judges have agreed with the Attorney General's position that local municipalities can ban the sale of cannabis. I know that a lot of people are upset about that. My position on that is that there is, I read the statute. I didn't see any express language that would prohibit the preemption. So if people want to take that issue, they can write to the legislature, or we have a great initiative process here. We could amend the statute with an initiative. That brings up other issues regarding that. That would probably take the case to the United States Supreme Court. Depending on which policy side you want to push, there's a lot that can happen with that seemingly small issue. It could affect the entire country. So regarding kind of the last two issues that I've been talking about and that I care a lot about is, as a libertarian, I believe that government is formed to protect individual liberties. Recently, our Attorney General came out with a proposal to ban assault, I believe he called it assault weapons and magazines that have a capacity more than 10 rounds. There is nothing written down. There's no bill for anybody to look at. It's pretty vague at this point and seemingly arbitrary. I'm against restricting individual freedoms. I can't remember who it was that said, if you start giving up freedoms in search of safety, you're going to end up with neither. So rather than restrict people's freedoms in trying to get a society that we feel comfortable in and is safe and works, I think we should address underlying issues. If it's violence we're trying to address, we should figure out the cause of violence. We shouldn't start restricting people's liberties. And then the last issue that is very important to me, I'm located up, I work in Arlington, and about 2 years ago there was that massive Oso landslide that the country heard about, and so the people that were affected by that brought a suit against the state, and the Attorney General's office is defending the state. That's what its job is. It hired experts, and at this point, I believe it's paid approximately $3.5 million to those experts for their opinions. And about 3 weeks ago, it came to light that the state's experts had agreed to destroy evidence as they went along in the case, and that evidence was essentially their emails and their opinions. So instead of turning over the evidence to the plaintiffs and their attorneys, the experts agreed that they would destroy the evidence, and present at the meeting was an assistant attorney general who did not stand up and say, nope, we have to preserve this. Plaintiffs likely have a right to see it. So that has come out recently. And then there was an article in the Everett Herald that relates to a special assistant attorney general who is brought in for this case. And apparently that attorney has been tied to evidence destruction in the past when he was representing municipalities. And the article reports that he was recently sanctioned by the court in the amount of approximately $27,000. And from what the people up here understand, what I've been able to glean, that attorney has now been put in charge of the upcoming trial and the remainder of the litigation. So I think that that's a huge appearance of a conflict, of an ethical issue, you know, not condemning anybody, but I think that the office needs to make sure to avoid any appearances of ethical issues when it's defending the state, because essentially the office owes a duty to the citizens and to the state, which is the citizens. And so that's a very big concern that I have and that the people up in this area have. And it should be a concern for all the people that are listening today.
Yeah, well, thank you definitely for bringing that to our attention in more detail here. And we do appreciate that. Well, Joshua, good luck in your campaign. And people can find out more at Trumbull, T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L, the number 4, A-G, attorneygeneral.com, Trumbull4AG.com. And, well, good luck to you, sir. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for taking the time to, you know, let our audience hear a choice that's going to be available for the state of Washington. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. And we also have a campaign Facebook page that I'm trying to update and let people be able to follow activity and ask questions and be able to interact on there. So if people want more information, they can go there as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I hope you have a good rest of the afternoon. Thanks so much, Joshua.
Thank you.